Welcome back, Selfish Babes, to another Selfish Babe podcast. It is your girl, Olenike Osibowale, here bringing you another episode. As I start off this episode, I told you guys I was about to go do my yoni steam at Ingrace Yoga with Asha. Say hello.
Hey, hello.
She is the owner and founder of Ingrace Yoga and of this beautiful facility, which I showed you guys already. And so now we're diving into the episode. So if you guys did not see that part, you guys are just now listening, I wanted to bring Asha on specifically because I had seen a post where she had talked about, I think, abortions and miscarriages and being a death doula. And I think that sometimes those topics are very taboo. They're very taboo. Mm-hmm. But I love when people talk about them. I like when people talk about taboo topics.
Me too.
So that's, I was actually really happy that she talked about it. And I was like, I know she's doing really great work here. And I said, okay, I'm in Georgia. You're in Georgia. Okay. Like, maybe I was going to do the podcast virtually, but I was like, why not? I just come into your place and do it here. So I'm happy she said yes. And so introducing Asha, who is the founder of Ingrace Yoga, but I would like to say, like, a spiritual womb practitioner, a death doula, a doula, mm-hmm. and what else would you say that you are?
Okay, hey, y'all. Hey, Selfish Babes. I'm Asha. So I was just started out this work as a social worker and a psychotherapist. That's how I came into it. So I still call myself a spiritual social worker.
Yeah.
I believe I do mental health and spiritual work, but in a different way, not necessarily in the therapy room, but wherever I go, sweetie, is the therapy room, right?
I feel the same way about that. Yeah. Like, I literally went to school for psychology, and I was applying to a PhD in psychology at University of Miami.
Yeah.
And I did not get in. And that's when I had started my businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I may not, like, I have a psychology degree, and I may not be a psychologist in the office,
right,
but I feel like what I do is still psychology-oriented. So
yes.
I always thought that.
Yeah, yeah. So I changed my title from being social worker and therapist to spiritual social worker and spiritual therapist.
Yeah.
So that's really what introduced me to this type of work. So when I was on that side, I say that side because I was always doing this, just in different capacities.
Okay.
When I was on that side, I was working with survivors of sexual assault, womb healing. Domestic violence, intimate partner violence, womb healing, right? From there, I moved into a medical social work field in a hospital where I would do rotations on labor and delivery, womb healing.
Yeah.
So I was always doing womb healing, but in very different capacities.
Yeah.
So I serve my community as a medicine woman, a spiritual herbalist, a birth, death, bereavement doula. I do everything from fertility work, helping you get pregnant, birth doula work, supporting you while you are pregnant, and then if your child transitions, miscarriage and or abortion work, supporting you as an abortion doula.
Mm.
And then I also help my clients step out of old identities into new identities. So I serve as a death doula.
Yeah.
And then I also help to support them and their families if someone is transitioning over to the other side as a death doula.
Shame.
Yeah, so I literally support women for their entire life. I am a healer for the women.
I love that.
Yeah.
What got you first into social work in the first place? What about it attracted you?
You want to know something? You know, now that you ask that, I believe this was always in the cards.
Okay.
I was a psychology major.
Okay.
And the social work program was offering a trip to where? Haiti.
Guys, she's Haitian, by the way. We didn't get into that, but she's Haitian, too. We're going to get into that, though, but go ahead.
They were offering a summer trip to Haiti, and I couldn't get a summer job, right? So I was like, you know what? Let me do this little summer trip. Let me see what it's giving.
Yeah.
And I was going to be an English teacher in Port-au-Prince, and I think it was anywhere from, like, 6 to 8 weeks. It was a work study.
Okay.
That's what it was. And so
Have you been to Haiti before then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up going to Haiti once a year with my family.
Okay, good.
But we never really stayed in Port-au-Prince. My family's from a part of Haiti called Marchand des Salines.
Oh, never heard
next
of it.
To like Gonaïve. So
what part of Haiti? Like,
girl, don't get me the lion. Don't get me the lion. Because, you know, your folks may probably look it up and be like, that's not even true.
Okay.
But okay, we're from Marchand des Salines. Okay. Are you familiar with the revolutionary Jean-Jacques Dessalines who fought for independence?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the town that I'm from is from where he's from.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, revolutionaries and house. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The only reason I asked that is because I had a prior podcast where I had brought on Mamba Lanice.
Oh,
and,
that's my girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about Haiti, and if you, myself and Space, remember, we talked about a lot of Haitians being afraid to go back to Haiti. So I wanted to know, were you a Haitian that frequented Haiti or not? Or like, you know, because I get it. I get both sides.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I like to hear that you were already visiting.
Yeah,
already.
My parents brought us to Haiti every single year.
Okay.
Right? So we already were going back to Haiti. My mom owns properties. My mom's a business owner in Haiti, like, and she is a landlord.
That's good.
So she was going to Haiti checking on her stuff, honey. Okay. She was not leaving that in the hands of the locals.
Okay.
So, so she was taking us with her.
Yes.
She was taking us with her. So I understand too, like Haitians say, like, you know, it's not safe, but we grew up that way going back to Haiti. And then my family has political connections.
Okay, nice.
So we were able to maneuver through Haiti the way we want to maneuver through Haiti.
Sure. Yeah.
A little bit of privilege. Yeah, a little bit of privilege.
And it's okay to use it. It's okay to use it.
Yeah, a little bit of privilege. So for me, Haiti has always been a safe place.
Yes.
It's not until like recently where I'm thinking twice about going to Haiti. But for my entire life, Haiti has always been a safe space for us. Yeah.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Saving money now during Menards Bag Sale. All prices after 15% bag sale discount. Pick up a 6-pack of LED light bulbs for just $2.97. Get a wood or fiberglass claw hammer for only $2.29 each. 52-ounce bottles of Ajax dish soap, just $2.97. And 12 packs of Shasta soda in assorted flavors are only $4.19. Don't miss out on Menards Bag Sale happening now. Good through January 12th. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
So I went to Haiti, and when I went to Haiti, I was like, oh my goodness, I love what I was doing. Of course, it was a teaching job, but really, it was so much more. Like, the children connected to me because I was Haitian.
Yeah.
I was there translating, you know, between the teachers and the other teachers with, like, a cohort.
Yeah.
And the students and, like, the families were bringing me rice. And, like, of course, we couldn't eat the food, but it was just so beautiful.
Oh, that's nice.
And I began to
They were
to
giving
think,
you rice because they were grateful.
Yeah, they were grateful. Like, rice. And there was a rum called Bacara at the time. Like, they were, like, trying to sneak me Bacara. I'm like,
that's the rum, okay?
I think I need to have this. Right, but it was beautiful, and it opened my eyes to another way to heal.
Yeah.
Right, and then at the time when I was pursuing psychology, I knew most of it was examinations.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, you know, I don't really want to spend the rest of my life doing psych evaluations for folks. Like, I wanted to do something where I was really making a difference. Mm. And so I came back from Haiti after like the 6 to 8 weeks, and said, I'm going to apply to social work school.
Okay,
and so I went and applied to social work school and wrote this beautiful essay about my time in Haiti and got in.
But for you, when you applied to social work school, is that because you felt like this is what's going to help me make a difference in the world
yes.
at the time?
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
It did, because it gave me all of the competency and all of the skills and all of the information that I just transferred from there into here, into the womb healing space. But when I was there, I thought I was going to be an international social worker.
Okay.
My vision for myself was to do humanitarian work
and
to travel all over the world and help people heal.
Okay.
Much like what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
But I thought I would be doing it with an organization, not be the organization.
Yeah. You know?
Right? I thought I would be employed.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know, it's like, no, girl, we got no plan for
you. Yes, you have another plan. And it's not you traveling with the company. You are the company now that's employing people to travel with you to go and help those in other places.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got started. Mm. And that's what, like, led me here. One thing led to another. I did medical social work. And then from there, I went back to the therapy space, where my specialization was working with folks with anxiety, depression, sexual assault, sexual abuse.
I wanted to ask you about the in-partner domestic violence as well as the sexual assaults.
Mm-hmm.
When you were dealing with women in those situations, like, how did it make you feel? And, like, what did you think at that moment you needed to do to help them?
To be very honest, I was dealing with this so much that I had become desensitized to it. Being on the trauma unit, I think it had turned my heart off.
Oh, wow.
From like really experiencing the trauma in my body, it was like, all right, what support do we need to get you, and what do we need to do to move you along?
Let me do a slow pause. This is a trigger warning for anybody that may have experienced sexual assault or domestic violence. We're probably going to be talking a little bit about that, and so if you feel like you're going to be triggered, I just want to do a little trigger warning before we continue the episode. Continue, because I am going to ask you, what were some of those cases?
Yeah. Okay, so I was desensitized. Yeah. It's like when you hear the same thing over and over and over, of course my heart broke hearing the experiences of the women, but I had so much of a capacity to hear trauma without physically feeling like anything in my body, that my main goal was, how do we get you connected to services?
Okay.
How do we get you connected to support? So in those positions, I served like as a case manager. So it was never me working with the families, you know, by myself. I was working with other social workers in the community, homeless shelters, domestic violence shelters, food pantries.
Yeah.
I was working with other psychotherapists, right? Like we would shelter the mom and like have her with so many wraparound services that like her abuser couldn't find her.
That's good.
Right? Like we gave her and her family different cell phones. We even relocated them too in some cases.
Wow.
And I was with the families throughout the entire process.
Okay.
And if they were going through like child support issues, I was there at court.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Too. But okay. I can't say in that time I was feeling deeply.
Yeah.
Because I had so many of these cases.
Yeah.
It was like, how do we get you safe? How do we get you housed?
Yeah.
How do we make sure your children are safe?
Yeah.
How do we make sure your children are housed? How do we make sure your abuser doesn't find you? I don't think in that space I had the space and time to feel.
Yeah.
Because I think if I would have felt, I would have been so damn heartbroken.
Yeah.
Definitely. I would have been in pieces.
Definitely.
Right? And then after, when they would, like, transition to the housing, then I would feel. And I would feel, like, everything. Everything. I would sit home and say, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, when somebody is experiencing something that's really rough, like, let's say that there's a national disaster that's happening right now. All you're thinking about in that national disaster is how to get to safety and, you know, where you can go.
Yes.
And you're just on go mode. You're,
yes.
Your adrenaline, you're on
you're
go,
just
go,
in
go,
survival.
Go. But then when you're at home and they're done maybe and it's quiet and now you can reflect on what you just experienced, then you're saying, okay, like, I can feel like this.
I can feel. I can feel. And I remember I used to call my mom. My mom used to say, that work is so unsafe for you. We want you out of there. Because I would be face to face with my clients' abusers.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in court.
Okay.
Yeah, or like sometimes the abusers would want to come and pick the children up from school unexpectedly. I would get a call because I was the point of contact for the family, right? And so I would like hear or see the abuser face to face.
So give me an example. Okay, so if you could think back to one of your cases, or it could be many of them, give me an example of like a scenario of what happened.
I'm going to change the names for confidentiality because we don't know where they are, where I hope they're safe. But there was a case I was working with. There was a mom from a Caribbean country, let's just say that. She was from the Caribbean and she was seeking asylum because she claimed that there was political war.
Yeah.
Once she arrived here, she told me that it wasn't political war. She was seeking asylum because her husband was beating her.
Okay.
In the Caribbean.
Wow.
But she came here with the husband. So she started telling me everything, and I realized, oh, she is a survivor, right? And she literally asked me for help to separate her from her husband and to provide resources for, like, divorces and stuff like that because she wasn't familiar with it. Stuff for school, she needed medication, everything. He was abusing her physically, sexually, financially, mentally, emotionally. And so as her social work and case manager, that was my responsibility to connect with my community partners to get her the support.
Yeah.
So much so I connected her with the immigration attorney.
Okay.
She was able to work with an attorney, and I was her support at court too.
Yeah.
And so when I said I would see the abuser, I would often see him in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I would see him in the waiting rooms.
Yeah.
You know, I would see him on the way to the restroom. And they will try and intimidate you because
they
know, like, they will try and intimidate you. They will try and give you, like, the death stare.
Because they're mad that
they're mad.
Taking away what they're using to be a punching bag.
Yes, okay. Absolutely, absolutely. And then in some of the cases, they feel as if you are the one that's breaking their family up. You are the one that put these ideas was in the wife's head. You know, not like she came on her own volition and said, Asha, I need your help. No, they can't imagine that their wife would have that thought or idea. No. So that's what I would do. That's how I would support them. And I would like make sure her kids got to school safely by collaborating with the community partners, calling the school to make sure the kids are still in the classroom.
So nobody
so no one tried to remove them. I would have conversations with principals, just sharing a little bit around the family case, but just to let them know, even though he is dad, he can't pick them up. Like, there's a restraining order. And I was very hands-on in these women's cases. Yeah, very, very hands-on. And it took a shift with me getting into the spiritual work because I realized there were limitations to it, too.
Like what you can and cannot do?
What I could and couldn't do, and then also what I couldn't say.
I felt the same way. That's so funny. Like, literally, when I was thinking about being a psychologist, I had worked at an alternative girls' high school. And when I was sitting with them, there's some things I just wanted to say. And I was like, bitch, I can't even say this. I can't talk to you the way I really want a motherfucker talk to you. And I don't know if this is for me.
Yes. There were just things I couldn't say, like... There were times that I knew they needed a yoni steam. So just really quickly, my family is full of natural healers.
Yeah.
Okay? So I grew up in a very spiritual family. My family has roots in Voodoo. All my life,
love
that's all I've ever known, right?
Let's hear the positive ones about it. Yes,
that's all I've ever known. I've only known spiritual herbalism, folk medicine, natural healing. So sometimes the woman will come to me and say, you know, I'm having uterine pain. And I want to say, girl, get you a yoni steam. Yeah. So like, but that wasn't appropriate in my role to say, get a yoni steam, sit over the pot, do this, do that. You know, that was not appropriate. Yeah. Or there will be times where they're talking about emotional pain and trauma. And they were working with a therapist, and I wanted to support them and say, baby, I need you to get in a spiritual bath.
Yes,
I
need you to cleansing.
You need a cleansing. Yes. Right? And I just couldn't say that. And I remember being so frustrated because I was like, healing has to be more than this. We have more than one body.
Yes.
Right?
It's healing, more than just the logical. It's more than just paperwork.
It's more than that. It's the spirit. It's the heart. And I was able to feel at a certain point, like that feeling came back because I started going on my own spiritual healing journey.
Yeah.
And I was doing Reiki with my Reiki healer at the time. And she was like, I don't know if you are taking on your client's stuff, but your heart chakra's blocked.
Oh, gosh.
So I was doing work in the back end, too, just, like, healing myself. So when they would come in, I would feel, like, their heartbreak and their pain and sometimes, like, their soul disconnection. And I wanted to say, get you a rose quartz.
Yeah.
Get into this bath. Take a white bath, right? Like, do your Ori cleanse.
Yes.
Like, I wanted to tell them all the spiritual things that we did back at home to bring all parts of ourselves together. And it just wasn't appropriate. And so I feel like God pulled me out of there and said, you're going to do it, but now there's less strings.
Yeah.
There's less formalities. Yeah. You're still going to do it the way you've always been doing it, but you're going to have the freedom to give all sides of healing, mental, spiritual, emotional, psychological, without there being limitations.
Oh, I just love that, you guys. OMG. I just love, especially when you talked about Voodoo, like, I just love that, hearing about that, because when I had went to Haiti, probably like 2 years ago, and I had met Mambo Lunis and just seen the rituals and things, because I've always wanted to go to Haiti, by the way.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to go, but I said I never wanted to go by myself, and so when it was brought up that I can go with a group of black women, I said, oh, I'm taking this, and we're going to go, and so we were in Jacmel, and it was just beautiful. It was so beautiful. I loved it. You guys know, like, we practice other things other than Christianity. No shade to Christianity, but love to talk about the other things as well in a positive light. So I just love to hear your connection to that. That's really, really beautiful. And as we talk about that, let's talk about your Haitian roots, because as I walked in, I did see her altar that she has with the Haitian flag. So tell us about the connection to your Haitian ancestors, or just your ancestry.
Okay. You know, some folks will say, this is not Haitian, this is Haitian voodoo. But the home I grew up in, we were always connected to our people. We were always. If my mom needed answers, she was going to get them from the other side.
Sure.
So growing up in that home, ancestral veneration was part of our, like, everyday life. Spiritual ceremony and divination was part of our everyday life. So I was raised to be very proud of where I came from, and not just the good parts of Haiti.
Yeah.
I was also raised to like claim Haiti, claim my ancestral birthright of wealth and abundance, claim being a revolutionary, claim being an activist, claim being the first, you know, black free nation. I was like raised with, you know, with that in mind.
Yeah.
My father was also very militant, but still very proud.
Yeah.
So he put that in me. He put that in me to like be proud of who you've come from. And the people you've come from.
Yeah.
And as a child, too, my parents also taught me that the ancestors are still with you.
Yes.
Like, still walking with you. There will be times, and I remember in college and social work school, I used to say, Mom, I don't think I'm going to pass the test. And she would say, ask the ancestors. And I'm like, what the hell you mean ask the ancestors? Like, ask the ancestors for help.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell you mean ask the ancestors, Mom? Like, this is not the time for the ancestors. Like, it's the time for me to know.
This is school.
This is school. And she's like, watch, just ask the ancestors for help. And don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself out.
So
and that was so backwards to me at the time. Like, what, lady, are you on earth? But I would ask the ancestors for help, baby. I'd be in that. I would be in that test, like, just writing. And I said, okay, there's a connection here.
Yeah.
You know, we hear about it, but, like, there's a real connection.
Yeah.
And so from then, I think my Haitian pride was just, like, through the roof, right? And I've always been proud to be Haitian, but when I moved to Georgia, I realized, oh, wait, I have culture.
Yeah.
Because coming from New York, too, it's a melting pot.
There's a lot of culture in New York, okay?
There's a lot of culture in New York. So, like, you have your culture, but you don't really see your culture because you're in the Jamaican's culture. You're going to get some.
Mental and emotional wellness is important. I'm so grateful that more and more people are openly talking about going to therapy, Selfish Babe. If you have been thinking about getting therapy, I would highly recommend it. An easy way to find a licensed therapist would be through a company called BetterHelp, the sponsor of this episode. They've helped over 2.5 million people connect with a therapist and get the accessible therapy that they deserve. Prices are affordable and they even have financial aid options. To check them out, go to betterhelp.com/selfishbabe or click the link in the show notes to get 10% off your first month. Love you.
Food there. You in the Trini culture, you're going to go get some bust up shots there.
Yeah.
You're getting chow mein from the Guyanese,
yes,
right? So,
yes.
Like, it's like all the cultures blend together.
Yeah.
And here, when I moved to Georgia, I couldn't find my people.
You know they're here, though.
I know they are.
I just went to the Haitian corporate parties and they're here.
I know they are here. But, like, in Marietta, it was hard for me to find my people here.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to get Haitian food.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, I'm about to be the Haitian staple out here.
Yeah.
For real, for real.
Yeah.
And so, that's why, like, most of the work that I do is informed by, like, Haitian folk medicine,
okay,
Haitian traditional herbs,
yeah,
and how we use it. So I felt that it was only right to open up a shop in honor of, one, my journey, both my professional and personal journey, but then, two, my walk with my ancestors.
Sure.
Because it was my ancestors that told me, go get your shop.
Mm-hmm.
In a divination. Like,
and
it's time to get your shop. So, like, they have been with me every single step of the way.
Yes.
So that's why I have the altar there. It serves as a fertility and blessing altar. So when my girls come in and they're struggling or they are on a TTC journey, trying to conceive journey, they put their petitions down there in the box and they leave it.
Okay.
And so the intention is to fill that wall up with all of my babies from all of the clients that I support.
I love that.
But yeah, so we pour libations weekly here for the ancestors. Call them in on Fridays. I play some music for them.
See, she already asked my question because I was about to ask her, when you were growing up, what did ancestor veneration look like? But we're talking about what it even looks like now, and I love that what she said, playing the music for them, pouring the libations for them, talking to them, having that communication.
Talking to them. My mom used to make food for them.
Yes.
So we drink soup jumu for Independence Day.
Yes.
So my mom would make a separate bowl of soup jumu just for the ancestors.
Yeah.
And they would communicate with her through the soup. So if the soup went bad overnight, they didn't like it. Or something was off. Something was off in the divination that, like, she wasn't following. Or maybe she didn't put her offering down or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they would communicate with her through the soup, which was, like, insane. One time, the whole pot of soup went bad. And we said, oh, Mom, whatever you got to do to make it right at the end, let's make it right, okay?
Yeah. No, but I love to hear that, because when I think about raising my own children and some of the practices that I do, ancestor veneration is something that's just near and deep to my heart. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say? So to be able to hear somebody's journey growing up in that is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I almost want to ask you, well, how did you feel knowing that maybe what you got was different than other people?
Yeah, I definitely believe what I got was different from other people. So my mom's a Mambo. Her father is a Ugan.
Yes.
His father was a Ugan.
These are priests and priestesses of the Vodun tradition.
Yes.
People understood. Yes.
So I come from lineages of Ugans and Mumbles and healers. And there are some folks that didn't do the priest route, but so they're called mystiques.
Yeah.
That they just have the ability to channel.
Yeah.
Growing up, I thought it was weird.
Okay.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Even though it's just what we did in our house, I didn't see it anywhere else.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. And now that I'm grown, I'm like, oh, many Haitians, they were doing it, but they was just closeted.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing it in the comfort of their home. So I thought it was weird. I thought my mom was on some bush stuff, honestly. I was like, Mom, I'm trying to be a social worker. Like, I don't need those herbs, you know? Like, we need real medicine, you know?
You know the herbs is the real medicine.
Right? But again, I was colonized.
Yes.
Even though I grew up in the home, I was so colonized and indoctrinated by going to school and learning all of these new forms of therapy.
Yeah.
I thought, like, what my parents were doing were archaic. It was like, we don't do that anymore. We don't need to do that. It's backward stuff, and it's not necessarily beneficial, right? Even though I saw, like, the real benefit, I was so indoctrinated from school and education. Mm. And then Spirit brought me back home. Yeah. My entrepreneurship journey brought me back home.
To Haiti?
No, brought me back to my mom's house. Brought me back to New York.
Okay.
So I don't know if you remember, but we did a retreat in 2019.
Yes.
2019, we went to Haiti.
Yes.
And I went in the water.
Yes, yes.
I went, remember? Do you remember?
What's the part of the place we was at?
We were at Labadie.
Yes,
we were in Labadie.
Go ahead.
I went in the water and released the offering to La Sirene.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, I'm ready. I was already receiving a call to, like, step out of traditional social work and therapy. I just didn't know what it would look like.
Yeah.
So I took a big rose quartz, and I threw it in the water, and I had, like, a fruit offering, too, and I gave it to the water as an offering and said, I'm ready. From there, my life just turned upside down, seemingly overnight. Once we got back from that retreat, I was moving to New York.
Why?
I was moving to New York to be a full-time entrepreneur, or so I thought.
Got you.
I moved to New York, and honey, every single challenge that you could experience, I experienced.
Yeah.
Now I feel that Spirit had me move back home to learn that same bush medicine that I did not want to know.
Yeah.
I had to learn it for myself, because I had to become the next iteration of my mother.
Okay.
Now, a couple years later, I could sit back and say, I thought it was to be a full-time entrepreneur. Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was because I had to go to the source to learn these herbs. Because
so when you were in New York, you were with your mom.
I was with my mom.
And you were learning stuff from your mom.
I was learning stuff from my mom. And I was there for about 3 years.
Okay.
And at a point, my mom said, it's time for us to go to Haiti.
Okay.
And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
She said, it's time for us to go, like, literally.
Yeah.
So I left. This was around Christmas 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I probably moved back to New York at the top of 2019.
Yeah.
We went to Haiti. And that's when I learned that my parents own large acres of garden.
Wow.
Of a garden. And I was there for 21 days. And in those days, I believe that I got initiated into the path of folk medicine, because I sat with my elders every single day. And they taught me every single bath they knew.
Wow.
And all of the spiritual formulas and recipes.
Wow.
And yoni steaming.
Wow.
And they taught me doula work.
Wow.
They taught me how to support women with fertility issues. Everything.
Question. When you were having those conversations with your elders, did you have questions, or were they just giving you this information and you were receiving it?
I believe it was a sacred assignment, because I don't even think I had one question.
That's
for
what
real.
I was asking. I'm like, okay, you're
because
asking
my
me
mom
about
told me it's time to go to Haiti. I went to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
She had her people come over. Literally, like, I thought I was going for a birthday trip.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Capricorn, so it was around that time. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to Haiti for my birthday.
Yeah.
child. It was a whole initiation of sorts.
Okay.
She had her mystics come. They performed divinations on me. I'm like, Mom, trying to go to the pool. Like,
she probably had like a dream or something.
I believe
she
so.
Had to bring you to
I
Haiti,
believe
and
so.
She I'm had like, to just tell you to go.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, Mom, we really trying to go to the pool for real. Like, can we do this later? She's like, what? The spirit is here. You're going to tell the spirit. Can we do it later? Right? So, like, the. She had her mystics come. They performed divination for me. And once the divination was clear, in Haiti, we call them femme shy or like a midwife, right? Once it was clear that like that was the path for me, immediately I was at the garden like the next day,
wow,
learning everything like the next wow day,
yes,
right? So like that's how we move. We divine first,
yes,
and then we take an immediate plan of action.
Yeah, and that's what I love about divination or other forms of spirituality that people may have lost, don't practice, or may even deem evil.
Mm-hmm.
These are spiritual tools that will enhance your life and guide your life, right? Divination is used to help you guide your life, especially in the midst of confusion. And so just like you said, you got the divination and it is immediately the next day.
Like I was
action,
there.
Action, moving.
Action,
and
action.
I'm gonna tell you something. Some people could get readings day in and day out and not do one motherfucking thing. And I hate that. Just like people can take all these damn plant medicine journeys,
yep,
and not do
nothing.
Shit with their life. If you get, the thing is to use the tools to do the thing.
Yes.
Don't just keep going back and back and back and not making no action. So, yes, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, honey. The next morning, I had my cousin go and buy me a notebook. That's how
okay
unprepared I was.
Yeah. Yes.
I had my cousin go to the market, like the supermarket, and buy me a notebook,
yeah,
and I just started taking notes. And I came back to the States in New York on assignment.
Okay.
I was like, I'm supposed to be a doula. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to help women with womb healing. I was already doing that, though, because
yeah
I was a Reiki practitioner and I had my own office in New York.
Yeah.
But it was mostly Reiki stuff,
yeah,
right? And I was like, I'm supposed to be healing with the herbs. I'm supposed to go to herbalism training. Like, it was very clear
yeah
what I had to do.
Yeah.
And the minute I landed my 2 feet back in the States, I was on go time.
Okay.
Literally. So from then, that was 2021 till now, 2024, what you're seeing is a manifestation, one, of the divination, but two, of my applied action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you always feel like you were going to have a physical space? And how do you feel having your physical space?
Yes, I always felt that I would have a physical space, but I thought I would sell crystals.
Okay.
I thought it would be a crystal shop.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it would just be a crystal shop with like a whole bunch of crystals. I was like in love with like metaphysical shops
yeah
and things like that. I never thought it would be like a womb spa
yeah
or anything. My vision could just see a crystal shop.
Yeah.
That's it. I never thought I would have herbs
okay
at all. I never thought I would be doing like yoni steam.
Yeah.
None of that. I just want a little crystal shop, but I always saw that it would have a practitioner space
yeah
and then it would have like a retail space, right? Mm-hmm. So when I walked in here, I was like, this is not going to be a crystal shop. It's going to be a lot more than
yeah
a crystal shop, but here's my retail space, and then we have the practitioner space in the back.
And how do you feel about having a physical place?
Because
I'm only asking because I know other business owners. I'm more of an online girl myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I like online. You know,
mm-hmm,
I'm getting into like in-person stuff, but not like in-person retreats or things of that nature. But I like an online thing. I like or in-person events. But how do you feel about having your own physical space?
I love online.
Yeah.
I love online. I started online. But this is not my first space.
Yeah.
Right. But it's my first storefront.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm an in-person person.
Yeah.
I'm an experiential person.
Yeah.
People have to be able, whether they fly, drive, swim, hell,
experience,
they need to be able to come to me.
Yeah.
Because also, when they come to me, they're also experiencing my ancestors.
Yes.
And yes, you can
That's
do that
beautiful
online, but people need to come
in
here.
Is good
there's
for
some
that
healing that happens in person.
Mm.
There's some things that happen when you're just in a physical space.
Yes.
So I know that for the work that I'm doing
yeah
and how deep womb healing can go,
yeah,
sometimes virtual is not the best space to do
yeah
the work because you're sitting in the same place that's making you sick. You need to get up and
mm
go somewhere else and truly experience healing and take that back home.
Mm.
So I love having this space, honestly.
Yeah.
It was a big growth moment for me.
Yeah,
it was a huge growth moment
yeah
because my life literally changed. I went from having two suites to a storefront, so
yeah
my life changed. But I always knew a storefront was part of my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Was I doing this without the store? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the work was limited. There were times that my clients needed post-abortion ceremonies. we got to do that in person.
Yeah.
There's so many ceremonial stuff for the womb that's just better in person. Cleanses.
Yeah.
We have to do that in person,
yes, right?
Closing up the bones. Doula work.
Yes.
That's done in person.
Love it.
So I knew I needed a space that people can come to to learn and to get that hands-on experience.
Make sure if you guys are in Georgia to check out Ingrace Yoga, okay? Now, as we go into that, I do want to talk about your connection to spirituality and womb healing, right? Because you guys know I own Goddess Detox now, Evolving Butterfly, and I've talked about spirituality and womb healing together. Like, that's just made sense to me. We talked about Queen of Fools, Sacred Woman, all the things. And so for me to meet you and hear you talk about spirituality and womb healing, I'm like, yes, like, you get it. You know what I'm trying to say? So when did you make that connection that this is spiritual, you know what I'm trying to say, versus like, I'm just going to, if they're dealing with infertility, let's just get some shots or something and try to keep that way, versus maybe praying and rubbing and healing and taking the baths or even the candles that you have that you're selling. You know, how did you connect the two?
Growing up in a home, everything was spiritual.
Yeah.
Everything had a spiritual basis. So even when we got sick, my mom was doing the divination to see, were we really sick?
Yeah.
Or was this a manifestation of something else?
Yeah.
So I saw that in my home, right? Yeah. And also in my tradition, too, when women experience infertility, divinations were done to figure out what was the issue. Was it a physical issue or a spiritual issue? So I always had that orientation. And then when I became a yoga instructor, I learned about the chakras. And I learned about the energy.
Yeah.
And I learned that when the energy is blocked, stuck, or just not moving appropriately or not moving in a healthy way, it can cause physical manifestations in the body, right? So I had the spiritual experience, and then I had the energetic experience. And then at the time, too, I was also studying yoga therapy, which looked at how trauma stores itself in the tissues and in the cells of the body and can have adverse effects on the physical function of the body.
Yes.
So with the spirituality part of it, I got from home. Energy medicine, I also studied. Trauma, I also studied. So it was a no-brainer to me that womb issues truly started in the spiritual and energetic bodies first, right? And that even if we experience physical manifestations of stress that are removed, let's say fibroids, if we don't get to the spiritual and emotional issues, they can return.
Yeah.
Because I learned in energy medicine that the body is the last place that energy manifests.
Mm.
And so even if we heal the body, we still have to look at what part of the body or what emotions were moving through the body that allowed this to manifest in the body, right? And that's what I think total body healing is.
No, I agree. I think, like, for me, when my spiritual journey and womb journey, like, I always just knew that there was a connection with spirituality in the womb, and like, there were things that maybe women were holding on to, whether it be stagnant emotions or certain things or experiences they may have had that could be stored there. And I just knew that. And even though I learned about some of the things through Queen of Four, like other books, it wasn't until I was started going to spiritual misas, where you guys know we have these misas where we connect with our ancestors and see what messages they have for people, that some of the messages that people were receiving was like, oh, you may have had a sexual abuser in your family and they may have cleaned off on you, and that energy is still stored in the womb space. Or maybe you're having a feeling of depression, but it's in the womb space. And so me going to those misas solidified to me what I already knew. You know, that connection of spirituality in the womb space. So it's really good to see you doing this work and connecting it for women. And like, just even when I talked about talking about the taboo stuff, which we're going to get into now, because it's so important. You know, I think some of these things are really frowned down upon or not known. And then even when we talked about miscarriages or like abortions, right, a woman having the right to choose whether or not she's going to keep that child, that's taboo for some people. You know, we have laws that are stopping women from making the choice that they want to do. But we also have herbs and things that people can do to do those things as well, to each his own. And so now I want to get into some of the, I guess, the death doula stuff that you do. So let's start there. Like, what is a death doula?
Okay, before we talk about what a death doula is, let's talk about what a doula is, right? So a doula is someone that supports people in transition of. That's it. So if you're transitioning from being without child to with child, then you would need a birth doula.
Yeah.
If you're transitioning to being with child to without child, you probably need a postpartum doula or abortion doula, right? Depending on what the situation is.
Yeah.
So a doula, I like to say, is a sacred person that helps you transition from one state of being to another state of being.
Yeah.
And so a deaf doula is someone that assists any person from going from being alive to transitioning to the other side, going back to spirit side, or helping a client, a woman, a person being from a physical perspective, like dying to one version of themselves. So they're transitioning from one physical version to another physical version of themselves, right? And we would call that like a rebirthing ceremony. But in order to do that, you have to do like a burial of some kind to bury the part of them that they no longer resonate with or connect with.
Yeah.
And so I would support them as a deaf doula in that way.
What got you interested in being a deaf doula?
I was never interested. I don't feel like I was interested in much of this. It was like my path, as per the divination, you know? But what got me into the work, like what got my feet wet into the work, was helping my healer transition.
Okay.
So when I moved back to New York, I sat under two healers, okay? And one of them was dying at the end of the pandemic.
Wow.
And no one was able to, like, get in touch with him because he had become so irate and he just really didn't want to talk to people. And my spiritual sister called me over to his house and said, he's about to transition and he's asking for you. And at the time, I had remembered some of the rituals and stuff that I learned in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I performed a Reiki session on him. And in that Reiki session is where I saw his spirit, like, leaving his body. I felt his spirit leaving his body, right? And I was ushering him to the other side. It was like information. I was just channeling information, like, it is safe for you to go. It is safe. And I was just repeating that for like an hour. Like, it is safe for you to go. It is safe for your spirit to go, right?
Yes.
And I think he passed away 2 days later.
Wow.
2 days later. But I could see in him when I arrived. Like, he was fighting. He was fighting to stay alive.
Wow.
But it was like I gave him that permission to leave.
Yeah.
And 2 days, maybe a day and a half later, he passed away. I got the call.
Wow.
So it wasn't something I ever had in my mind to do. I never saw a deaf doula training and said, I'm going to be a deaf doula. No, it was something that I was initiated in by supporting my loved one with transitioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did we get into this work when it comes to abortions and miscarriages?
I've always been pro-abortion.
Yeah.
I've always been that way. I've always been pro. I've always been pro, do whatever you feel like is best for you.
Yeah.
I've always been pro that, right? And so I would say as I started doing the womb work a little bit deeper, people started coming to me with fertility issues. So I was handling that. And then people were coming to me like with stuck and stagnant energy. So I was handling that. And then one day I got a phone call saying, hey, I'm about to have an abortion.
Yeah.
What would you recommend for me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my goodness, what the hell? I sat with myself and really asked myself, what do I feel about this, right? It's not about taking a client's money. What do you actually feel about this person calling you, asking you for support?
Yeah.
And I said, this is no different from if they wanted to have a child.
Yeah.
It's no different. I don't treat it any differently, right?
Yeah.
And I remember saying, okay, my personal boundary is that I won't provide the herbs. That's called an herbal abortion. I won't provide you the herbs unless, like, perhaps you're my client and I'm working with you already in a doula capacity, that if anything goes wrong, I can run over to your house.
Yeah.
But if I can't run over to your house and, like, you're not my client, I won't provide the herbs for herbal abortion. But what I will do for you is help you heal 45 to 60 days post-abortion, because that's cultural in my community.
Yeah.
When a woman has a child, when a woman is assaulted, or when a woman experiences an abortion or miscarriage, the community rallies around her for the fourth trimester, because we consider the woman to be a baby.
Wow.
And in that time frame, too, we believe that she is closer to death. than she is in her waking life, okay. right? And so I said, I'm going to do what is customary to my tradition. And so I'm going to support you post-abortion, post-miscarriage, or baby loss of any kind, okay. right? That's how I got into the work. I had one client give me a call, and then I started doing it for my clients, but I never promoted it online. Yeah. Like, it was just something I was doing for my clients. I was fixing them herbal steams post-abortion. We were doing Haitian postpartum baths because many of them were in pain. If they took the pill, their physical bodies okay. were in pain. I was giving them postpartum underwear to wear because okay. they would be bleeding out, yeah. right? I was giving them peppermint tea for the nausea. Yeah. I was giving them affirmations to okay. say to heal their womb. I had them on a full and complete uterine detox post-abortion to heal their spiritual body and their physical body. And then I would do spiritual ceremonies for them called the baby release ceremony, where we ushered the baby back to spirit.
That's what I was about to ask her. I was about to ask her, so what about the spirit of the baby?
Yeah, so we ushered the baby back to spirit. And then we would do burials where they would bury something that represented the baby in nature. And that would sometimes be coupled with like a grief ritual where they would express their grief and ask spirit for forgiveness, ask their soul for forgiveness,
yeah.
ask the baby for forgiveness and move on.
Why do you usher the spirit of the baby back?
Because that's where the baby comes from.
Yeah.
So there's spirit side. There's womb side and then there's earth side.
Yeah.
So the spirit side is where the ancestors live. That's where the angels live. That's where all of the forces live, really. And the babies come from spirit side, right? So the thought is in sacred birth work is that the baby looks down in relationship to us. The baby looks down and chooses the mom.
Yeah.
And so there's a spiritual process that happens from when baby comes over to spirit side into womb side.
Yeah.
And so mom falls pregnant, right? But that baby chose her already. And was an energy already. So now baby has moved over from home to a new home, which is the womb. And then mom carries baby for 9 months. And now baby is initiated and born into earth side, yeah. right? So when baby chooses mom and baby takes up space in the womb and mom decides to terminate, baby can stay in mom's womb.
Hmm.
Even though mom is only terminating the body, not the spirit. Not the spirit. The yeah. spirit is eternal. You can't kill a spirit.
Yeah.
A spirit can only be transferred. So what I found in my work is that when we didn't do baby cleanses or like healing post-abortion, my mom's experience issues conceiving again
okay.
because the spirit of the last baby or two babies that they've terminated was still present, so they were blocking their womb, girl. They were blocking their wombs.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I said, all right, y'all, I have to put this online.
Yeah.
I have to put it online.
Yeah.
And so I think I recorded one of my clients' ceremonies from the back. And it just went viral.
Yeah.
It went viral. And then I was getting so many calls for women saying, can I come? Can I come? Can I do the ceremony? Can I do the ceremony? And that's really how it started,
yeah.
right? So the reason why we bring baby back home and usher baby back to the spiritual world is so that baby can look down again and either choose mom or choose another mom.
Yeah.
Choose someone else.
I've been released and most times have not even been acknowledged.
Yes.
And so because they haven't been acknowledged, sometimes they can cause chaos.
Yes.
And havoc.
Yes.
In a woman's life.
Yes.
And so not only is she unable to conceive, sometimes her money gets blocked up.
Mm.
Sometimes she has a difficult time emoting. Like sometimes she begins attracting a partner that she does not
but
want.
But you see how the womb is connected to every aspect of our lives that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
You just mentioned money. You just mentioned relationships as well.
Yes.
When I had my podcast episode about abortions, there was one woman who had gotten a reading post-abortion, and it was said that two of her children were still near her, but she never acknowledged it. And so she had to light candles for both of those spirits to acknowledge them so that they can, you know, leave, because they were actually tormenting her new
boy. Yes. Let's talk about that.
They were tormenting her toddler. And, you know, babies are close to spirit, so
yes.
they can see, they
yes.
can feel that, the
yes.
energy. So, yes.
Let's talk about that very briefly. Are we good here? Yes. If you do not complete a post-abortion or baby loss ceremony, this doesn't happen for all women, but I'm just talking about what I've seen in my practice. Even if you still are able to conceive and like the children of the unborn are not caught in the womb, they can terrorize your newborn.
Yes.
because they are angry that they were not born or that they just weren't even acknowledged, right? Like, they chose you as the mom. And although I say that this, the children know that, that they're not going to be born, they at least want to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
They chose you for a reason.
Yeah.
They chose you to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
So when you just move on and act like, okay, that's it, you know, whatever, and don't have any sacred rituals around acknowledging them and releasing them, they can become resentful.
Yeah.
Like, did you even love me?
Yeah.
Did you care about me?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't care about me? Now I'm going to terrorize the one you do actually care about.
Yeah.
And that's one of my clients, too. She came to see me because she kept seeing her now child that came over to Earthside drowning in a pool with two children holding.
That's
trigger warning.
That's very descriptive.
Trigger holding the child down in a pool. And she said, Asha, I'm ready to release the two.
Wow.
And we had to do a wonderful ceremony. It was a beautiful ceremony. To release the two. And since then, she has never had that dream again.
But you see how spirit communicates, y'all. She had her client had dreams about this, which communicated to her there's something going on. She came to somebody that, like you, that does this work and said, hey, this is what I'm experiencing. What would you suggest? You giving her the suggestion. But again, this is not something that a regular medical doctor is going to talk about or tell you.
Right.
Honestly, they probably think it's crazy. I'm being honest.
Yes.
But when you come to somebody like Asha that integrates the spiritual, that looks at this your womb in a holistic manner, it's not crazy. It's normal. It's natural. And there are solutions, which is why I just feel like it's so good to have this conversation because and bringing in the spirituality because these things like this, people normally would not think, oh, is this a spiritual thing? Like, do I need to, what do I need to do for this? You know what I'm trying to say? You go to your doctor, they're not good. There's no pill for this. There's no prescription. Like, there's no medical prescription for this. But there is a spiritual prescription for this. And so I just love those examples because it's like, that's real life. Like, we can't just keep looking at the womb from this textbook level. It's very much so connected. Like even when you talked about somebody's money that could be blocked up, when you talked about attracting bad relationships, when I was selling the Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, I still sell them, but while I was telling people, like, speak into the herbs, pray into the herbs, talk about the unblocking of your womb space. What are you working through right now? What is blocking your success? Because your womb is connected to so much of your life.
Right.
And when you start to look at your womb space in this powerful way, and honestly look at yourself in this powerful way, you're like, oh my God, I actually have so much power. There is power in the power of your tongue, in the power of your prayer. Even when we're just doing the yoni steam, we had set the intention, right? Because there's power in the power of the tongue, the power of the prayer.
Yep. And you have to give the herbs a job.
Yes.
These herbs are beautiful allies, but they're called plant sisters.
Yeah.
Right, which means they're listening to you too. The way your ancestors are listening to you, these herbs are listening, right? So before you can get on the steam, you place the hand and you set the intention for what you would like support with opening up or closing. And then on to do this on this Lionsgate portal. Hello.
Oh, you know, girl, I tell you, sir. We were supposed to record this yesterday, but you right, girl. We are doing this on the Lionsgate portal.
The womb is the center of creativity. It is the center. And if we're talking about the anatomy of the body, it is also connected to the heart by way of the meridians, right? It's connected to every single organ. So when the womb is in dysfunction, so are the supportive organs in the body, right? So yes, it's important for us to heal our womb space because that's where our source of power is, right? And I could talk about this all day and all night. It wasn't until I connected to my source of power that I was able to even empower anyone, honestly. It would have been through logic, reasoning, and ego. But this...
Selfish Babe, are you ready to use products that goddesses use? Okay, then you want to check out my company, Evolving Butterfly, where I create products that will help you on your spiritual and self-love journey. I have our Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, which is my number one best-selling spiritual womb detox for those girls that really want to start connecting to their womb space, their yoni spaces, you pray over the pearls, you insert it into your vagina for a couple of days, you physically purge, cleanse, and revitalize your yoni. But not only that, it is a spiritual and emotional cleanse. A lot of times we may be carrying on to emotional baggage. Maybe we broke up with a partner a long time ago, but we're still carrying their energy in our womb spaces. My goddess vaginal detox pearls addresses all of that. And so you want to check that out at evolvingbutterfly.org, or maybe you want to try one of my crystal yoni washes like Pussy Power for self-love, or Sex Goddess for creative energy and pleasure energy, or even Wealthy Woman for my selfish babes that are about getting the bag and the wealth. These are plant-based yoni washes. They are silky. They are luxurious. They smell good. They feel good. They give you that cooling sensation to awaken your vagina. And all the bottles come with different crystals. Pussy Power with rose quartz. Sex Goddess with carnelian. Wealthy Woman with citrine. And then they also have affirmations on the back based on each bottle. So if you want to focus more on self-love, then Pussy Power would be for you. And then we also have my Queen's Vaginal Steam Herbs. If you already have your seat and your gown and you're just looking to get some more vaginal steaming herbs, I have the Queen's Vaginal Steam. So make sure to check out my company Evolving Butterfly at evolvingbutterfly.org, linked below. Mwah.
Divine connection to your power that can't be replicated.
Okay.
That cannot be replicated, nor can it be studied and duplicated.
Yeah.
It's a you know, in French we say je ne sais quoi. It's an essence to you when you tap into your womb space, right? That you motivate others not by talking, you motivate them by modeling what life can look like and how sweet it could be when you tap into your own womb energy.
Yeah. Now, I know we had started off talking about like the passing of children, or just passing in general, like death in general, just a part of life. And not only do you do this post-abortion, but you also do this post-miscarriage as well. I'm just letting the ladies know as
well. Post-miscarriage, post-abortion, baby loss of any kind. Any kind. So whether it's an ectopic pregnancy, spontaneous abortion, baby loss of any kind.
Now let's talk about those women that are trying to conceive. I know we did a little backwards, but I noticed that in her shop, she has some fertility candles, and you had also mentioned that some of your clients can put their petitions for their babies, right? You have the babies that have been born, right? So tell us just a little bit more of that, the spiritual work when it comes to fertility.
Okay, again, you can petition for your child. You can petition spirit. You can petition for a child to choose you. I'm going to talk about it from two perspectives. Sometimes a child chooses you, but it's just not the right time. Circumstances haven't lined up yet. So think about it like this. If the child says, I choose you, but you need to have a job, and you don't have a job, it's very simple, right? The child's not coming down. I had a case where the child chose the mother and the father, but the child said, I'm not coming down because y'all fight too much. So my recommendation was get into therapy, because this child doesn't want to come into a violent home. That wasn't part of the contract. Learn how to manage your emotions, because this child also has a sacred contract to fulfill. So if y'all fighting in a home, this goes against the child's contract. So sometimes your unborn child needs you to do some work first. They have chosen you, but there's a gap between where they are and where you are. And that's where you do work. I tell my moms, it's not a passive waiting. You're not just at home like, okay, are you coming now? It's an active waiting. You're actively like on your steams, talking to your womb, doing your uterine massages.
It's an act of prayer though.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even when we're praying, like they say, like, work without faith. What's the saying?
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's an act of prayer. And so go ahead with the work that they're doing.
So, and then when the circumstances line up, then they call me and say, Asha, I am pregnant. All right? So that's when a child has chosen you. Now there's another instance where, actually there's one more that I want to add, but there's another instance where a child has not chosen you yet, right? Sometimes women come to see me for a womb Reiki session, and I could feel if a child's nearby, if a child's close to their birth canal, right, in the section, and I will say, okay, there is energy here, but I don't see children at this point. When I don't see children and they really are on a TTC journey, I have them putting petitions down, I have them working with the energy of the water. water, because the energy of the water is connected to the energy of the womb space. Yeah. I have them leaving offerings at the water, speaking to their unborn child, prayers and affirmations for their unborn child, literally calling a child down.
Are they lighting some candles?
Of course, they're lighting this birthing queen candle over here. And they create a baby altar in their home.
Yes.
I told them to start preparing a room in the home for a child, right? And just be patient.
This is the part of manifestation that a lot of mainstream manifestations will not talk about, because a lot of this stuff is old traditional work.
Mm-hmm.
It's still manifestation. It's just done differently. You see what she said? Prepare the room. Start the prayers. Do all the things, because you're already expecting it to happen, which is going to happen.
Yes. So that's that. And then I have them, when I serve as their womb doula, I have them on fertility teas. Teas that balance the hormones, teas that are high in vitamin A, B, C, and D, that help to increase fertility in one's body. So they're on fertility teas, they're on a steam plan with me, they're constantly doing womb cleanses and detoxes with me, they're tracking their cycle, so we're doing some very physical things too, in addition to spiritual things, right? And then the last category is when the child chooses the parent. And parent has no clue. Like, parent is not expecting child. No clue, right? And most times, because I serve as a baby medium, the child will come to me first.
Okay. What do you get? Like, tell me some stories.
Okay. So cool. I have one. So, I was in Puerto Rico doing a offering to Yemaya.
Okay.
I had about 28 of my clients, and they gave me all their petitions, right? And I prepared, like, this beautiful, elaborate offering, and I went to Yemaya. And some of them were asking for children, and other ones were not. They were, like, asking for expansion in their business and stuff like that, right? For Yemaya and La Silen.
Yeah.
And so during the ceremony, as I was calling the names, I was receiving messages about some of the women. And I called one of my clients' name, and I think she just wanted expansion in her business. That's it. Literally, this was like with my eyes wide open. Literally, it just came out of my mouth. She's going to have a child. Tell her to get ready to move, because the child requires her to have a bigger home, and the child requires her to live by the water. And at the time, she was living in North Carolina. If she's watching this, hey girl.
That's so cool.
She was living in North Carolina. So like, it was like, yeah, it's time for her to move. As I'm at the water, like, my fingers are like, where's my phone? Because I have to tell her this right now, or I would have forgotten it. And I'm like, girl, you're about to move. She's like, Asha, well, I'm not even expecting a child. She just had a child, too.
Okay.
I'm not expecting a child. So said, so done. The baby was born last week. The baby was born last week. I even said, it's going to be a girl.
Did she do the things?
Oh, she did all the things.
Okay.
Yeah. I said, it's going to be a young girl. She's coming down. And she's going to have a very fiery spirit.
That's so beautiful, guys.
And she was born
I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah, she's going to have a fiery spirit, but she's also going to be, like, emotional, too. And I said, this is a gift from the ancestors and a gift from the water. And so it wasn't last week. I think 2 weeks ago. It was during the tail end of cancer season. And her child came through.
You know what I was just thinking about? Because you had said this, all she just asked for was expansion of her business, right? I'm that girl. I'm going to be asking for expansion of my business. But what I think what I'm learning is that, you know, children are, back in the day, they still are now, have been seen as big blessings.
Mm-hmm.
They can help you change and transition. And maybe her being by the water is going to help her transition, expand her business.
Absolutely.
So I just thought it was so interesting. If the only thing that she had asked for was expansion
in her business,
but she was going to get a baby girl, and I feel like she still got her answered prayer. Like,
she
was going to help expand her business.
She did.
In a way.
I mean, instantly, when she moved, when she, I call it soul scripture. So when I give you something, it's not a prescription. I'm not an MD. I'm going to give you a soul scripture.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you something that your soul needs to get to the next level. So when I sent her soul scripture, it was like, you need to move, and this is the timeline, and don't worry about the house. Light a red candle for the house. Like, I just listed everything down. Once she followed the soul scripture, her business blew up so much. She's booked and busy. Before the little girl even came down.
Wow.
The petition that she had in Puerto Rico just manifested.
Wow.
So she got two blessings.
So sad. Yeah. I love that, guys. I'm just like so happy about that. I think it's also because I've been looking at babies more favorably. I'm the girl that's like, girl, what? Maybe like late 30s. I'm 32. So I was like, maybe 38, 39. But I've been like looking at marriage and babies more favorably. So I'm just like, aw.
It's a very beautiful work. So babies come from the other side, and you can communicate with them, you can petition them, and most times they will ask you for something. They will say, I'm coming when you do this.
Yeah.
Like, heal your heart.
Okay.
Learn to manage your anger. Very, very real practical things.
But you know what I love about this, Asha? I love the communication with the babies from the spirit side. But I also love, like, being born into healthy homes. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that there's some children that are not born into healthy homes or people that can regulate their emotions or being born into the best financial circumstances. So the fact that you can get a message from your baby telling you what to do before they come, oh my God, mm-hmm. that is such a big blessing. And I also commend the babies for saying, bitch, I need to be born in a healthy home. Like, I just love that too.
Babies are changing, okay? We have some bougie babies coming in. And if the baby's connected to Asha, it's a bougie baby coming through.
Okay.
It's a bougie baby coming through.
So what are all the services you provide, Asha?
Oh, my goodness. So I serve as a medicine woman. So there's an array of services. Yes. Some services I provide based on need for the client, right? If they're spiritual ceremonies, then that's based on need. Now, general services, a la carte services that folks can book, it's doula work, right? So I provide, like, postpartum closing of the bones, which is a ceremony done post-birth okay. for women. I provide postpartum steams too for yes. women. I provide yoni steams in this space. I provide womb reiki for women. So when women, like, are on a fertility journey or they are pregnant or want to communicate with an unborn child before doing our baby release, they'll book a womb reiki session.
What is womb reiki, real quick?
So womb reiki is reiki. Reiki is a non-invasive energy healing modality that seeks to align the chakras and remove stress and stagnant energy yeah. from the chakras. Womb reiki just focuses on the womb space. So I'm literally doing reiki and removing blockages and stress from the fallopian tubes, from the eggs, from the vaginal canal, wow. right? It's only around the reproductive organs, yeah. right? So women who book that service are either trying to conceive or get in touch with their spiritual self.
Yeah.
So we start at the womb space. Yeah. And I find that many babies come through the womb reiki sessions because they're like, okay, if you're already booking a womb reiki, you're ready to hear.
I was going to say, so sometimes you said you do get messages during those sessions.
Yeah, 99% okay. of the time I get okay. messages during those sessions. But sometimes the babies also make contact with me through my dreams.
Okay.
That's one of my clients that she's pregnant right now, and I'm scheduled to fly into New York for her delivery.
Okay.
The baby came to me in the dream first. Aww. And it was a baby showed up at my front door and gave me a card. And I opened the card, and it was my client's name on it. Right, oh, so guys. I gave my client 2 weeks. I gave her 2 weeks to tell me,
yeah.
and she didn't tell me. One day I call her, and I said, "Hey, girl, what's going on?" And she said, "Hey," I said, "you got something you want to tell me?" And she said, "Oh my God, I couldn't even tell my business. Oh my God, why you just snitching on me?"
Okay, yes. Because we need a great delivery. We need yep. some services. Maybe that's why.
Right, so I provide womb reiki. I provide candle support. I don't necessarily do readings. People like ask me all the time, do you do womb readings? No, I do womb reiki. There's going to be a reading in there. We're going to remove some energy. We're going to channel some energy for you to, do the work.
Do you only do womb reiki in person?
No, I do it virtually too.
Okay,
I do most of my womb reiki sessions virtually because
Selfish Babes, I want to book.
Yeah, it's because I'm talking about it so much online. People are everywhere.
Yeah.
So they book those sessions.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, is that all the services?
Yeah,
you host retreats too.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, I'm forgetting about that. So I host spiritual retreats for women of color. Am I forgetting anything? I'm talking to my assistant over here. I teach classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For those that want to train and learn this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I teach classes. I teach womb practitioners for women that are interested in, like, natural based healing and spiritual modalities for supporting women from literally the womb to the tomb.
Yeah.
And then I also train death doulas too. And in person. Now that I do in person, but I do have an online educational school where folks can go on and learn.
Okay.
Under Ingrace University.
I was gonna say, so where can we find all this information?
Oh,
the website
is ingraceyogatherapy.com.
And your location in Georgia?
And I am located in the beautiful Marietta, Georgia at 2365 Powder Springs Road, Southwest, Suite 1215 in Marietta, Georgia.
And where can they find you on Instagram?
At Ingrace Yoga, INGRACEYOGA. You can find me on Instagram there or on TikTok.
Okay, Okay, guys. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of Savage Babes that's going to want to just book you for all the things. I think this was such an amazing episode, y'all. I learned some new things, too, but I just love the connection. I'm just like, look at these babies! Oh, my God! So, thank you so much, Asha, for being on the
Savage Babe podcast. Thank you for having me.
I'm so grateful for you to be here. I'm grateful for the work that you're doing, and I know that so many women and children and just overall families will continue to be supported by the work that you do.
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you for answering your ancestors' call, and thank you for continuing to honor them and do this great work.
Thank you so much, honey. Thank you for having me, and thank you for coming to my beautiful space.
Of course. XOXO, Selfish Babe.
Are you a selfish babe out there that wants to have the freedom that money can buy? Do you want vacation money? Do you want money to just buy whatever you want without having to check your bank account? If that is you, I highly recommend joining my Married to the Money digital marketing and resell course. Okay, selfish babe. This digital marketing resell course is so amazing because not only do you learn about creating your own digital products like ebooks and e-courses, but as soon as you purchase my Married to the Money course, you're going to be able to resell it and keep 100% of the profits. You don't even have to get a new course. You don't even have to come up with your own course in order to sell this. This is why this product is so lucrative, and this is why it's changing so many women's lives, right? I bought this course, and now I'm reselling it as Married to the Money course, right? And now I'm giving you the opportunity to have another stream of income. I've seen a woman go online making a faceless Instagram, and she's brought in about $25,000 within 20 days. I've seen a woman bring in $30,000 in a day. I've seen women make $5,000 extra dollars in 3 weeks. Stay-at-home mom, full-time mom, single moms, everyday girls out there, in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, it really doesn't matter. If you're a selfish babe out there that just wants to have another stream of income, I highly recommend this course. And when you purchase my Married to the Money course, one, you get the rights to resell it automatically, which is perfect. You get step-by-step instructions on how to set up everything so that you're able to reset it. You get to join a group of about 5,000 other women who are selling this exact same course, which means you have the support. And then you also get two free other ebooks. One ebook is about how to market yourself on Instagram to make money, right? How to market yourself on Instagram and create reels to make money. And the second ebook is how to start a faceless account and make money like that. And so if you're a selfish babe out there that doesn't want to show your face necessarily when you're marketing or when you're doing something like this, then you're going to be able to get that. And so not only do you get to resell the course, right, but you also get to resell these two ebooks. Both of these ebooks are, you have the rights as soon as you purchase them, which I love. So I'm like so into this. I'm so excited to share this opportunity to my selfish babes that want to have the freedom that money can buy. I know that time is very important. I know that you don't want to be slaving away at that job. And I just know that you just want another source of income for yourself and your family. And so if that is you, selfish babe, join my Married to the Money course. The link is below. XOXO, selfish babe. Bye.